You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. I'm your host, and today we're going to be joined by our co-host for a special review, look back, discussion of the 1989 classic, Say Anything, starring John Cusack, Ione Skye. You'll see, and it's on your screen, it might not be, but there's wonderful smaller performances from John Mahoney. Well, no, he's one of the main characters, sorry. Who was the dad on Frasier? Jeremy Piven, Ari Gold from one of our shows that we love, Entourage. Eric Stoltz, who was actually a production assistant on the movie. He was friends with Cameron Crowe and asked if he could be a production assistant, saying he had never been one because he was a movie star. So he's actually a credited PA. He wanted to know what it was like. And then, of course, Joan Cusack, the principal from School of Rock, plays John Cusack's sister in the movie. So it's kind of cool to see. This one is going to be an interesting, fun one to tear into because on the surface, it is just about that guy who wants to date the most beautiful girl in school. How is that not relevant or almost the basis of every 80s movie made? So the premise of the movie is a guy who's actually not that bad looking and there's nothing wrong with him, feels like he wants to get up the courage to ask the most beautiful girl in school out. I see we have our co-host with us. Welcome, Kai.
Hi. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Super fantastic, sir. Mahalo nui.
Super. Oh, of course. Mahalo nui. For those of you that don't know, that means thank you a lot. So we're going to talk about Say Anything, which is a wonderful, wonderful film. I can't believe it's 30 years old. And I already guys let you know how it's about, you know, the guy who thinks he's a loser because he's actually not that bad looking of a guy. So I love that he kind of just gets the courage to ask this girl out because you kind of look back at it and you're kind of like, well, what's wrong with John Cusack? But since you're a big Ione Skye fan and we're going to kind of look at this from about both sides of the coin, I'll let you start out with your thoughts to kick off Say Anything.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So I couldn't agree more about that situation with John Cusack. He's not a bad looking guy, but I wouldn't say that in the, hierarchy of 80s male teen leads, he's definitely not like Rob Lowe. So I do like the casting.
Oh, okay.
And I really, really love the casting of Ione Skye. I know I mentioned that to you earlier because she's such a brain. Like her character is really, you know, that stereotypical brainiac who did everything right. Like she didn't hang out. She didn't get to know any of her friends or her, students that she went to school with because she was so busy just reaching her goal, which is amazing. And I love that about her. But she's also like soft-spoken, has a list, like is very, she's not your quintessential leading brainiac, you know, like I really like the casting of Ione Skye. She's more sweet than anything and extremely like humble with her intelligence. But I didn't realize until I watched this again that this is a movie about a love triangle. And like the love triangle is between, of course, Diane Court and her first love, which is her father, and her true love, which is Lloyd Dobler. Like it's so cute, you know, and I had never seen it from that perspective. And for the first time in my life, watching this movie a million times or at least 100 times, I really felt for Jim Court. Like, I don't know if just being a mom has turned me into the sap for every parent in every movie that I watched when I was young. And now I see it from another perspective, but he just had so much invested in his special girl and she did so much and she rose to the occasion that it was really, really hard for him to let go of that stronghold. And like the reference of Say Anything, the name of the movie, is because they could say anything to each other. And I really appreciate that about Cameron Crowe as a director and a writer and a person who has the energy to create something like this, that he wanted to tell a story about from a daughter's perspective to a loving father. Like, even though he has his pitfalls, believe me, no parent's perfect. I'll just say that. But you know, at the end of the day, it really was a sweet story about the underdog from every direction. And then, like just these two people who really their stars should have never crossed, but they did, because Lloyd is not only like, does he have impeccable manners because he's a military kid, but he has impeccable manner. Like, he just has such a good way of selling himself and being excited and such a high energy that even though he has no idea what he's doing, because graduation, like they open in graduation, which totally tripped me out because last year was just such a sad graduation for all of our seniors. You know, we're in the pandemic and these seniors have gone their whole lives, and who knows who is the Lloyd and Diane from Kapaa High School this year, who didn't get an opportunity to meet because we can't get together with more than 10 people. And they basically graduated in math 6 feet apart. So sad. But like watching that whole graduation, the beginning was just like such a rite of passage. And I love too, just one more nod to how brilliant Cameron Crowe is and how John Cusack pulls everything off. He's literally doing like the first selfie. Like, I love how he takes the picture of himself like on graduation day by himself in front of his car.
Right.
So funny. Right. And then he like drives around with his tape recorder. It's just so funny. He's such a sweet, lovable character. And I love that even though Ione Skye is the unattainable, beautiful girl, like the quintessential out of his league girl, she's so sweet and attainable too, in the sense that she's just such a human. So that was my take on it, watching it years later.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that you're bringing up that John Mahoney dad thing. But with Ione Skye, I mean, Cameron Crowe, since I've rewatched a few of his films, like you're saying, for the umpteenth hundredth time, as I was just so aware after watching Almost Famous, like he just writes that perfect, like, respect for women. Like, there's no male gaze in his movies. There's no anything that we've been talking about. It's just purely like, if Diane Court needs to, you know, do her thing that might affect him, like John Cusack's character lets her. And there's not like a pressure or there's the funny moments, and we'll, you know, we won't spoil all of them about the driving around at night and the sip and cup. It's always my favorite scene, you know, like getting advice from the idiots in front of 7-Eleven.
Oh my gosh, that was the best. It was like the worst advice ever.
Oh, totally, totally. It's so hard. It's so crack in a weird way, but it's like, I can remember being at Lahui 7-Eleven across the street from Pizza Hut, philosophizing about what we knew about girls. And it's like, well, why are we here on Saturday night at Pizza Hut? So I think that is one of the most brilliant parts. But my choice.
That's the best. My choice. Oh, my gosh.
Totally. Because we always choose to be dateless on Saturday night. We just get together and we're like, yeah, let's be alone tonight. So I love what you were saying about this triangle, and I love how Lloyd is another thing that I think is so brilliant about Cameron Crowe is he manages to, in any moment, his characters are just being real to that moment. They're not like acting off of an agenda. I mean, sure, like we all have an agenda, but that's what I really picked up this time was Cusack was in the moment, whatever he was feeling. Ione Skye, it seemed like if she was confused, she was confused. If she was happy, she was happy. And like you said, the title comes out in the mother-father conversation or the daughter-dad conversation. And I've always loved that scene when she's like, when he's like, do you know that look? And the dad's like, John Mahoney makes that perfect little face. And I just was picking up on all these little things where it was just like you're saying, it's Say Anything, but then it's like, you know, we have those people where we want them to say anything to us, but then it's like, whoa, 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 why'd you just say that? So that's kind of the other twist on the movie that I liked.
Totally. And even like using the song, like I loved how, you know, like, of course, I would say one of the most memorable scenes, or the most memorable scene of Say Anything, is when he's holding up their like special song. Like, this is our song. Like, he can't say at all what he wants to say to her. So he's going to say every single thing to her. She knows exactly what he's saying. She feels exactly the same because they had that moment together that was really such a rite of passage. This whole like graduation reference of like the end of an era of adolescence and childhood moving forward into the future, which is like, go back. Oh, so actually it was hilarious. That they're just like doing this thing where they can't say anything to each other because they have shut off like all communication with each other. And even like the little, as the kids call it nowadays, like Easter eggs that, Cameron Crowe put in there, like that they're watching Cocoon, and oh my goodness, like at the same time, Diana Court is metamorphosizing and she's going through a transformation. And, you know, like I love that it's this reference around like what is and isn't cool to do to the people that you care for, and how justified, you know, her father feels in taking the perks that he's just sort of looking at these bonuses for giving these people a great life. Like it's just so many layers that I never got when I was younger, because I just didn't understand what real life was all about. And now to watch it from like a parent's point of view, like, oh my gosh, Lloyd is so adorable. And I'm so proud of Diane for achieving all of her goals.
It's a lot. I mean, I've always, of course, liked Lloyd, because I've, all these years until recently, I've watched it from the Lloyd point of view. And there's been times where I have, like, I love that line when he tells the dad, like, isn't she great? And it's like, you know, dads are so hard to deal with from a guy's point of view that it's kind of like, they don't care what you say, right? So it's like, when he says that, and then you can see the dad kind of rolling with it. But what I love about Lloyd, my all time favorite thing, is how when that crazy guy talks to him at the party, is like, how'd you get her? And he's like, I asked. And to me, that was so important, because I feel like it captured a time in the world and on film where I was just like, that to me is like God. Cause now it's like, did we text at the right time? Did we Facebook at the right time? What did her friends say, to where we can't just call up and say, do you want to go to the movies? Oh, you don't? Cool. So I really like that this movie kind of... Yeah, go ahead.
No, totally. Like, I was noticing things that I forgot all about. Like, I used to always, like, steal the phone from, like, the kitchen and go into the bathroom and talk on it. And just, oh, be in my office. You know, like, he had to get all fired up and, like, train and be like, yeah, what do we love? Pain. And he's like, I'm calling her up. I'm doing this, you know? And then, like, when he's all depressed because he doesn't want to be at home, he's, like, driving around. And, like, that payphone scene where you're like, who's he talking to? And poor thing, he's talking to his sister, which is another amazing written relationship by Cameron Crowe, who's so good at it, and really gets to the heart of it. Even in their first scene together as a brother and sister, I mean, I love that they are brother and sister, but like at the end of the day, just being like, you used to be hilarious and fun, and she can't even get mad at that, you know? She's like, you're right, I used to be hilarious, and I'm so sorry I'm comparing you to T.I.M. You know, like the whole thing is like so classic, because she is now raising a little man, and so she feels all like, you know, you just get all different, and you can't really get all different with your siblings because they know what's up, you know. Like, it's just so
funny
how every single thing is written so beautifully.
Well, he, you know, I read that, well, it might be on the commentary that I listened to years ago, because I own it. Cameron Crowe said he kind of based the optimism and the kickboxing aspect of Lloyd Dobler on this neighbor of his in an apartment he lived in when he was writing it. The guy would train kickboxing, and he said one day he came home and the guy's just had his ass kicked. And he was like, wow, sorry you lost. And the guy looked at Cameron Crowe and said, no, I almost won. And that... And that was what made him click with, like, this is who Lloyd Dobler is. Like, everyone might be telling him he's losing, but he's going to, like, go anyways. Because I hadn't picked up on how many people, like, discourage him. I mean, even when he's sitting around talking with his female friends, they're discouraging him. And it's
They're, like, wanting to be realist. I think more than anything, I feel like, and thank you for saying that, because, yes, it is discouraging, but they're also, like, protecting him because they're like, you are the sweetest, kindest thing, and we don't want you to get trampled by, like, high-speed relationship with somebody who's super-duper out of your league. So they're trying to, like, it's the wrong way to go about it, but, like, protect him. It's, like, really sad because he's like, man, everyone's just, like, on me, but he doesn't care. I think that's what you're getting at.
I know, right?
Whatever.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's when I heard that story on the commentary, I was like, that is totally Lloyd, because he's always constantly almost winning. He's not losing. And then finally he just takes it. But what I loved how that movie opened up, again, total perfect Cameron Crowe writing of women, is that way of, I didn't realize it was so rare when the climate changed months ago till I started talking to friends and men. I didn't know that it was so rare. Like, I experienced being like Lloyd, hanging out in females' rooms or just kicking it. And I would always wonder, why are there no other guys here? And, you know, that was something that was kind of cool to see, because I got that from you, and knowing you so young and you kind of gifting me being open to female friends. So when I saw those conversations, it's going to sound corny, but it was like, when he's like, hey, she's not calling me back, it hurts my ego, I'm a guy. And she's like, you're not a guy.
You're not a guy.
And I would hear that, you know, like, you're Lloyd, like, be a man. And it was so weird, because so many times girls would say, don't worry, you're not a guy. And I used to be like, what the hell does that mean? And I didn't know for like 25 years until I saw that. They would always say, you're not a guy, you're Paul. And still, that doesn't mean anything.
It does mean everything. That is such a compliment, because guy is like the collective of like that terrible, I would say guy equals the collective of all that bad guy, that toxic masculinity advice, like, ooh, get a girl who looks just like her, nail her, dump her. Like, that's like such a guy, you know? And like, from the girl's perspective, we're like, ew, he came here with someone who looks exactly like me. He's talking to dump her and trying to make me jealous. And like, we know what's going on. And we're like, look how pathetic. Yay, us for breaking up, loser. But like, guys think that it's like the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing. But yeah, so there's definitely people,
I mean, yeah, we're
get to have a first
we're
name.
We're nowhere.
You know, like, yeah, you are Paul. You get to have a first name. And then all the other ones are like, guys, like, ew.
No, I really appreciate that. I also was so sappy watching this the other day. Like, I don't know why I've been crying at like every movie I see lately. but it was just so like, you know, the way this relationship evolved. Like, another thing, like, and we're not even spoiling this. Like, when you hear this, like, you can still watch this movie and it still totally works. It doesn't matter if we told you every single thing scene by scene, is like,
yeah,
I wish I would have known that whole friends with potential spiel. Like, I was like, that's a good line. Like, where's Marty McFly to take me back to being 22? Because that probably would have worked. Right? Like, it's like, oh, cool. Bring the guard down. I mean, here's where I'm being a guy for a sec. And it's like, and I heard that and I was like, that is so genius, Lloyd. And then of course, right, it still keeps her mind wondering and not in the like infomercial, how do you get them, like they say in the movie, nail someone else. Like, it was just presenting someone as in the moment, he really was just feeling like, why do we need to be friends? And I also like how in that, now that I'm thinking about it, Cameron Crowe didn't bring that judgment of the friend zone to it. He made it okay. I mean,
totally.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like I just felt like he, Lloyd is such a salesperson. It's so cute. Like, he's just constantly selling himself. And only boys of that age, and I just say that because he's like a new graduate, you know, like only boys of that age can be handled like that, or can like sell things from that perspective. You know, they're so fresh. They're so light. They're so spright because nothing has happened in their lives yet that could be like crazy or, you know, completely change their demeanor. But he's just like, yeah, it's going to be great. Like, when, even when he's asking her out, he's like, do you know who I am? And she's like, yeah, we sat across from each other. He's like, you remember that? And she's like, no, it's on the message. And then she's like, look his face up after, and she's like, what? But he's such a salesperson. Right. Like, he's just so bright eyed, you know? And I love that when they're at dinner and he's asking, like, being asked, like, what are your plans for the future? Which is such a hard question to ask young graduates, but he's like, you know, I don't really know, but I don't ever want to do anything that's bought, sold, or processed, or sell anything that's bought, sold, or processed. That is
right.
The funniest thing ever.
Process anything that's bought or sold, right?
Yes, he's totally selling his agenda. He is selling the agenda of like, no way, I'm doing this for the future. I'm basically going to spend time with your daughter, sir. And he's such a military child that has been so, I just feel like for his whole life, they must have moved around a lot. Like, that character is extremely good at just sort of adjusting to whomever, whenever, wherever. He's always noticing things. And that's why him and a smarty pants like Diane Court get along, because he notices that she's smarter than him. And he allows that to just be like amazing. You know, it's really cute.
Well, that's always not a challenge. It's a challenge to accept. Okay, I'm talking with 2020 hindsight that it's easy to notice when a girl's way smarter than you, because at that age, we don't usually like to think of them as smarter. So that's what's kind of been the real great evolution with seeing Lloyd was, like, even when his counselor's talking to him and he's just like, how many of these people really know? They say they know, but they don't. I don't know. Like, yeah. When he says, I'm looking for a dare to be great moment, I just was laughing because I can't remember how many times with the nature of what I do in this field to where I had to just be saying, you know what? I don't care that I'm nowhere near my goal. Like, I'm willing to just like be great when I have to be great. And I don't want to sit around talking about my failures, you know, and concocting something that makes you happy. I want to go down this road. I can have the flat tires, the crashes, the whatever. You don't want to meet me on the other side of the road. Cool. The people that do, we're going to be partying. So that's what I was really liking about the Lloyd character was, I almost feel like Cameron Crowe took that, the idea of saying anything and then also kind of subtextually spread it across everyone was just having to live anything.
Yep.
Like,
I love
you pick
it.
That
That's
up?
So
like
awesome.
The character.
Yes, I love
the
it.
What?
I love it. Yes, totally.
It's so brilliant,
I'm so stoked you said that. Yes. It's really, really awesome. That it just weaves it together and makes it such a classic. Like, this film will always be a classic, and it will always be relevant, and it will always be good for this, you know, this young generation coming up, for people who haven't ever seen it. It doesn't even matter if you're young. You could like see it when you're 100 for the first time and be like, that is so true to like people's emotional anchors and their motivators. And that period of time, like the whole thing is just a perfect storm of that period of time. Like graduation, finally getting what you want, moving forward and really just following your heart. But then, yeah, like they're going to live anything too. And I love like how the seatbelt sign and stuff. Like I always do that on planes because, you know, coming to Hawaii, if you go to the mainland, you have to fly everywhere from here. And so I'm not necessarily like a person who loves flying, but I've always like looked at that. Like, when does it go up? When does it go up? We're at altitude. This is great. There's like
I
thought that was funny because I forgot about that. And then the breakup. Oh my gosh, she's so studious, and then it just hits him, and he has so many questions. He's so crushed, and it's just like watching all of that happy positivity and just that general outlook onto the world, like anything is possible, and just watching it get ran over, like when he was like, I want pain, or like, I want to have pain in my life, or I want to get hurt, when he's talking to his girlfriends, and then it happens.
Right.
Self-proclaimed.
I want to get hurt. That reminds me of like the beginning of High Fidelity, when he's like, is it the pain that caused the music, or all the music that caused the pain? So yeah. I was seeing John Cusack just so the beginning of that character, where like the High Fidelity John Cusack is Lloyd Dobler, but you know, we won't get into High Fidelity.
Because
that's just a hurricane. But what I've never been able to find out is that boombox scene, like, as a woman, is there just no way you could still not be talking to him after a move like that?
I mean, I think that scene is what happens now. It's so weird, because that to me is, I was watching it from this perspective of like, what would kids today do? And they would like text each other a song, or they would do something that's so much more like immediate. But just the fact that he has to like drive there, be rejected, she's just laying there listening to it, it almost breaks your heart more. And I feel like from her perspective, because she has so many different emotional things on her plate, like she's really just focused on her dad. And that is something that actually becomes like untouchable, because it's not even like made up in your imagination. Cause sometimes girls, we can be like, are we in love? Is this love? I don't know. Like when you're young, and especially like coming from the perspective of like a love triangle, like obviously her first love is her father. She trusts him. And like, she'll go into the fire for him. And then to find out he's a liar and a thief, that part is like, to me, that's the part where that moment that he put out there for her with the boombox, where he's just like, I am here and I will be here as long as you're actually here. And then, you know, he might've just followed her to England, who knows, but like, I'm glad that didn't have to happen. But like at the end of the day, she is in this place where she realizes that she has somebody else who cares for her as deeply as she has cared for her father. And that relationship is extremely disillusioned. And she realizes that she needs like to say sorry more than anything. I feel like that's the moment where she's like, I have to say sorry, because giving him a pen in his castle was messed up.
I love it. In his castle. And I love how Ari Gold, Jeremy Piven is sitting on the steps. I'm a huge fan of the film Entourage, and I hear crap all the time about, oh, it's so misogynistic. And I go, no, I just love how in Entourage, he takes care of his buddies. Like that he hits.
Yeah.
The
well,
have you ever watched
it?
Yeah. You know, that's.
Yeah. I love Entourage. Entourage is fun.
Yeah.
You know, you watch Entourage and it's fun. And there is a level of truth. And there is a level of just making Hollywood ridiculous from that perspective was actually super fun and funny. Yeah. I have no problem with Entourage.
Right. Exactly. Oh yeah, no, totally. So I just rewatched the whole 8 seasons, last month. And I was just like, that would be me. If you gave a dipshit like me $100 million, you better believe whatever friend is still single or wife would let him, he would be bunking at my mansion. So I just love, that's what I just love about the whole movie. And I have a friend on Kauai who is totally turtle, like just 100% turtle. Like I see it and I just laugh because I'm like, dude, that's my friend on Kauai. So yeah, so... what we'll do here is we'll close up. If you have any final things to say about Say Anything.
I just love it. I love Say Anything. It's such an oldie but goodie. And I can't believe, how old did you say it is? 30 years old?
It's from 89, so it's 31 years old.
Wow, 30 wonderful. Yeah, I really like it. And just even like Stoltz showing up, there were so many actors in there that I forgot about that I just was like, this is a great, it's just a great picture of that period of time. And I don't even know that the kids nowadays can get like why you would pull over in the rain and talk on a public, like on just like the phone. But there's just little things in that movie
right.
that I think will always remind us, like you were saying earlier, of a point in time. And that can never be taken away. Like history is on the screen. There were payphones.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, last year they were running it in theaters for the 30-year anniversary, but it was playing in Huntington. Yeah, it was playing in Huntington Beach, but I had to be in Cincinnati. I was totally bummed. I was like, I have to see this on the big screen. I saw it on VHS. We're starting to age ourselves, but I don't know if people know what a VHS is anymore, but or a laser disc or Betamax.
Or Betamax.
We used to have to,
yeah, totally.
Betamax.
I love like that whole thing with like matches, like shoving like a card or matches into the tape player. That was such a thing. Like there's just like funny things that I forgot about, you know, like making a mixtape for someone that you liked was so deep. Like what? Everything I do it for you. Brian Adams is on this mixtape. What?
Oh, did somebody have seventh and eighth grade boys that were into them with Robin Hood when they came out? It was I think that might be for the off the record director's cut there, bootleg Led Zeppelin guy. Wow.
Pretty much.
With the Robin Hood thing. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, deep,
with that.
Deep.
Yeah. Oh, it I see the mix. I mean, even like High Fidelity is making mixtapes. It's like that was such a great touch to be. I mean, I never got a mixtape, of course, but I do remember making them for a few girls with no sense of music or what should be on it. So, yeah. So with that, we will wrap up Say Anything, and we will be coming at you and with a lot of different stuff from new indie releases to 80s, 90s, and sprinkle in some this century stuff. So thank you for joining us, Kai. I'm totally like...
Thank you so much.
Jazzed. I'm totally jazzed doing this with you. So I really do... appreciate it, like beyond just the thank you that you know when you say thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I am too. Thank you so much, Paul. It's awesome. Super fun.
All right, well I will wrap it up here, and you know my motto, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, make sure to watch a good movie. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.